a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
And we are back here on Monday Night Talk. And that was great talking to the former state senator, now mayor of Weymouth, none other than Bob Hedlund. One heck of a conversation. And if you've missed any of our conversations that we've had, starting with Stephen Gill, who's running for Bob's old seat, or Anne-Marie and Jennifer, who are part of the South Shore Hospital's Charitable Foundation and that big run that they're doing for the Boston Marathon, or even our upcoming conversation in just a few moments here with the State Representative Kiko Oral. You can always check us out on WATD's website, 959WATD.com. Scroll down, left-hand side, look for the Monday Night Talk banner, click on it, and usually that is where all of the podcasts are. It takes me a few days. I'm not a miracle worker by any means. And it doesn't hurt you to follow me on Twitter, at Kevin Tocci. And you can also follow he's been my special guest co-host, and he's also my producer this evening, Jesse Wilkins. Jesse, how can they follow you?
I am on Twitter at Double Take Jesse.
Not that you don't already have millions and zillions of followers.
I know.
As I've learned tonight, you are a social media monster.
Yes, mainly on Instagram, but not I do get a good chunk on Twitter as well.
Now you know who our next guest is going to be, correct?
Yes.
What do you know about our next guest?
She is as I grab your paper to read about it, but I know that she is a state rep, and she has potential to have something to do with the GOP
National Committee.
National Committee.
Yep. Representing Massachusetts.
Very impressive.
And I believe she's on the phone line right now.
She is.
All right. Representative, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
Good evening.
I got to ask.
Very well.
I thought I saw on social media today that you have submitted your paperwork for another term.
I have. I submitted my paperwork to the Elections Division, and I'm hoping to be on the ballot for November, and I'm hoping that the people of the 12th Bristol will return me to the House of Representatives.
And this is going to be what number? You're seeking what number term?
So I was elected in a special election. I was elected two more times. This will be my third full election.
Oh, goodness. How has it been?
I've enjoyed doing what I do. I feel like I'm a very strong advocate for my district. I work very hard, and I try to provide a conservative viewpoint on Beacon Hill, and I think that I've done that pretty well.
Wait a minute, isn't that a bad word up on Beacon Hill these days, using the word conservative?
Well, it's I'm in the Republican Party, and that's where we are, and I think that for me that means being responsible with government tax dollars and trying to solve problems in effective ways, trying to cut down on any abuse, and trying to make sure that we're managing our taxpayer dollars wisely.
I didn't know that being wise with taxpayer dollars was a thing that the politicians do anymore.
Well, and I shouldn't make it just be, I think that there are Democrats that are concerned about that as well, but I think that our governor and our party tends to, ring the bell on that as far as trying to work within our budgets and trying to make sure that our tax rates are staying down. And so that's where, that's where we are. And I think that our governor is doing a phenomenal job.
How much of an easier task has it been having a Republican governor compared to having a Democrat as governor? How much of a significance is it for you?
The former administration had a different approach. I feel like the former administration wasn't as inclusive, and I think that Governor Baker is really trying to solve problems, including different opinions. So we are in the minority in the state house. We have 34 in the House of Representatives and 5 in the Senate, and so we have to work with a lot of different types of people. So I feel like he's trying to solve problems, and he's doing it well. We had the opioid bill that passed last week, and And that is tremendous in that he's a Republican governor in a very blue state.
How does that help? How does that help your district? Because I know that a lot of the cities like Taunton, Brockton, you know, while you're in Bristol County, I know that, you know, an urban center like Taunton it sees its problems when it comes to the opioid crisis.
Well, I think we're seeing it across the state.
Correct.
In all socioeconomic levels and across all professions and throughout ages. And I think that this has been a real team effort with the governor leading and, you know, with the attorney general, with many different parts of government, the Senate president, the speaker, minority leaders, everyone trying to focus on saying this is really a problem. This is really a crisis. We have the mayor of Taunton who's been has taken a key role in just sounding the bells and saying we really need to try to crack down on this. And so I'm so pleased that we were able to move forward with the legislation that moved forward. So
now I also want to kind of recognize something else that from what I'm understanding at this moment, you are close to locking up, or you have locked up enough votes for a national post that you could be the next GOP national committee woman from Massachusetts heading to the RNC in Cleveland?
Well, I am running for the position. It's a position that will be voted on by the 80 state committee members
April
of 5th. Of the Republican Party here in Massachusetts, and it's to elect a national committee woman. A national committee man will also be elected at the same meeting on April 5th. So those 80 people were elected by their Senate districts to represent them with the policies of the Republican Party here in Massachusetts. And I feel like as an elected official and as someone who came from the grassroots and had all different types of people helping me in my special election, that's what I want to see the Republican Party doing, growing and unifying and trying to get to a place where we can really make a difference here in this state. More of a difference. Making a difference. More of a difference.
Now, are you right now reaching out to individuals, committee members, to get their backing? Are you still campaigning at this time?
I am. There are about, you know, two more weeks, and I've reached out to most of the folks on the list, and will continue to keep working on my supporters and making sure that they're understanding where we're headed as a party. The message is to unify and grow the party. We have a lot of divisiveness as far as the Republican Party. You see it at the federal level. It's this frustration with government and with politicians, and I think that I have the skills to be a bridge builder and someone who can forge a new path.
Now, for those who might be political novices, what will be your job if you are elected on April 5th by the 80 members, or the majority of the 80 members, and you're a picked to go to the Republican National Convention in Cleveland this summer? What is your duty, or what are your duties when you're in Cleveland?
Well, the position is one that it's not a full-time position, so it's something that you're acting as a representative from Massachusetts to the federal level, to the RNC. And so my duties will be to represent Massachusetts and the voters of Massachusetts. And so with the voting, the first round of voting it just depends on how the convention plays out. So I'm going to be there to participate as someone who's a delegate.
Paying attention, you kind of mentioned something earlier in regards to hoping to unite the Republican Party, especially here in Massachusetts. How big of a role does it play that Maybe some of the folks who are going to the convention can also play a uniting factor when it comes to the federal level. Is it going to be important that there is some sense of unity at the RNC this year?
Absolutely. I mean, we're all over the map. We need to get together. And I think that part of that is trying to communicate honestly with what our frustrations are with the current political class. And so we need to have people who are able to convey that with respect. And I think that that's something that we're lacking as far as, I mean, we need to see more civility. We need to see more respect for others in politics. And so I'm hoping that that's what I will bring to the Massachusetts Republican Party as well as the Republican National Committee. So that's, civility and discourse is where I think we're going to see. Your former guest, one of the earlier guests, Tom O'Brien, was talking about that, you know, the importance of being able to have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can have a difference of opinion, and yet we can still break bread together, and we can still try to, you know, get through this life.
It's very important, and there has to be a sense of, I understand that there's a fear factor as to how things are globally, especially with the terrorism and the individuals who are radicalized, who, you know, have a way how they see things and how they want to kind of dominate the world, whether it's by cutting someone's head off or threatening nations with violence. But, you know, there has to be a way other than us, you know, our leaders, to verbally retaliate or threaten, that there are certain actions that are going to take place in order to remedy the situation.
Well, and I think that that's one of the things that I've learned in my time as a representative, is the power of your words. And when I was first elected, it was amazing to me that people, as a state representative, you're called to say a few words. Mm-hmm. And I would look around and I would say, wow, you want to hear from me? It's really important to have our elected officials understanding the power of their words and choosing those words carefully and making sure that that they're honest, that they're telling the truth. I still think that's a big part of this.
I think it definitely is. It's definitely important, and you can kind of see a lot of Republicans or people that are new to the Republican Party kind of joining in on the Trump wagon because of how politically incorrect he is and how he's not afraid to say anything. And I know a lot of the stuff that he's saying, you know, is viewed as wrong. And me, I'm not a Trump guy, but, you know, I do fall more on the right than the left. This is Jesse, by the way, not Kevin. And
I think she figured that out.
Yeah, but what we're seeing is, you know, a huge revolution of people who are quote unquote fed up with political correctness. But I think political correctness when it comes to the war on terror is kind of playing against us, because the bigger issue than, in my opinion, Islamophobia is Islamophobia phobia, to where people are now afraid to talk about it, and they're afraid to use the term Islamic terrorism. When we're literally at war with these people, they're already here. You know, they attacked us in Boston, they attacked us in San Bernardino, and you're dealing with these attacks that are already on American soil.
Right, so. But if I could step in and correct, is you can't bastardize a whole religion.
Absolutely,
you have a radical wing of Islamism that's taking place.
Yes,
that's
for
kind
sure.
of a problem. Am I correct, State Rep?
I would agree with that, and I think that the front runner is tapping into what you said. There's frustration mm-hmm. out there. There's fear out there, and I think that he's coming across as someone who will, quote unquote, tell it like it is. I believe that there's a way to tell the truth and to tell it strongly without inflaming situations or without, you know, causing more confusion for people.
I agree with that.
I go into Boston, you know, every week, and I try to share my opinions, which are in the minority, and I try to share them strongly, but I try to share them respectfully.
And that's, so, I think that's the line that you know, Donald Trump crosses, to where he comes off as disrespectful. And, you know, the issue with the way that he handled it is he's saying, you know, we want to ban Muslims from coming into this country, which everyone's like, come on. Like, there's already 3 million Muslims in this country. You know, and this is the way that he presented it was terrible. And this is the problem with a lot of Trump lines and a lot of his headlines and everything like that is the way that he says it comes off as wrong. But when you're talking about what he's actually saying, a lot of this stuff is actually correct. And you
right.
know,
but he's dominating news cycles with it. That's what he's attempting to do.
Which is what he's been fueling his campaign.
Right.
On,
and I got to ask the representative. I mean, being somebody who's possibly going to be going to Cleveland, give me your overall thoughts as to how we're seeing things unfold for the individuals who want to be the next president, the next commander-in-chief of our country. Give me your thoughts as to how we're watching things fold out. Give me your assessment.
I think that everyone would agree that we've never seen a presidential cycle like this, and that it really feels like a reality show in that. And I think that the former senator, Mayor Hedlund, was also talking about fatigue and debate fatigue. And I think that we're seeing unprecedented. It's a very unusual election, and I think it's because people are so frustrated on both sides. And I think that there's a gravitation towards Bernie Sanders because there's a frustration with people in the Democrat Party who are fed up with folks like the Clintons, and I think that there's that fed up element that is part of this presidential cycle. What we need to get to is a place where we're providing positive solutions. And so, what I would like to see our party doing is providing, great ideas and not just playing to people's fears, but saying this is the way we're going to forge a path forward. That's what I see our governor doing. I see him saying, you know what, we have a huge problem with the MBTA. We're going after it. We have to have, we have to change things. We have to change the way that things are done, but we have to be respectful of the landscape. And so I'm hoping that we'll, it's very hard to comment on where we're going because sure. With every week, we see something new happen, and I have no idea where we're going to end up.
Yeah, we are speaking with State Representative hopefully soon to be the next GOP National Committee woman from Massachusetts, Keiko Orrell, who is joining us. Nice enough to join us from time to time here on Monday Night Talk. This isn't her first stint on here. She's been on here before and chatted with us. So we definitely appreciate you being a regular guest on here, talking about some of the things that are going on. And even we're going up a level talking on the federal level.
Well, and I appreciate the opportunity to reach out to your listeners because I think it's important we know that people are listening in their cars and, yep. and on their way to places. And I think that it's important for people to get real information and not just
propaganda.
Political rhetoric,
yep.
propaganda. You're trying to have an intelligent discussion. Right. I think that's where we need to be in politics. Get past the talking points, get past those types of things and really convey who we are. And for me, that's a public servant. I'm trying to do the best for my district. I've worked very hard on Common Core. I've worked very hard on agricultural issues. I'm excited about the Plymouth 400, event that's coming up and have meeting regionally to find out, how we can be a part of celebrating with Plymouth and helping our region as far as economic development. So I think that if listeners never hear that, it's really hard because they only get their sound bites from TV, and
right.
it's just such an unfortunate situation at the federal level as far as the debates and the way that those have played out. And I'm hoping that we'll get to a positive place.
Is there any? I mean, you as an elected official on the state level, do you not have a growing frustration that we see it here? I look back 4 years ago. I look back 8 years ago and seeing the media, especially at the national level, playing a role in how they try to pick off candidates who are running for higher office. and how they do it. And I mean, they tried doing it with Hillary. They tried doing it with Donald, and it just seems as though it's like that disease, or almost like that. You think of certain things that we once were able to eradicate, like polio, and then it comes back even stronger.
Yeah. Well, you saw it with Fox News, where their front. You would have thought Jeb Bush had an actual chance at this presidency. I mean, the way that they were pushing, sure, Jeb Bush, such an establishment guy, and that was their guy for a while. So all the headlines were Jeb Bush making a comment, and it was just never a reality.
Mm. Well, and I think that that Donald Trump has really used the media to his advantage.
Sure.
And he hasn't had to spend a lot of money because he gets constant coverage, and he's done very well as a reality TV star, and he understands cameras and
he sure does.
You know, media, and so he's really had an excellent run, because he's, I think those are all skills that, you know, for whatever reason, move people to the top.
Well, any press is good press. He's done a great job at staying
in headlines. And the other thing is he's self-funded. He doesn't have to worry about if he says the wrong thing that he will lose financial supporters and financial backers. He is self-funded. He has $10 million or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Much more than $10
million. $10 billion. It's a billion. I didn't say million.
All right.
Billion dollars.
After the campaign, he might be left
billion.
With $10 million.
Yeah. Yes.
Billions of dollars. But the idea is that he doesn't have to worry about who he's affected, and if anything, it seems as though he's rebuilt up this resiliency.
It's working now, but I think that a lot of the things that Trump is saying right now will end up hurting him in a general election. Some of the stuff's going to come back to bite him, because.
But it depends on who he ends up. I mean, the way it's shaping up at the moment, it could, yep, be different. It could be Trump versus Hillary, but it also depends on what happens down in Cleveland. And I got to ask your representative, do you feel that, you know, we hear things on a regular basis that, you know, that the press puts out there that this could be a split convention and there could be.
Yeah, no, I'm not hoping for. I hope that we can figure this out, that there is no broker convention, that we can, you know, I'm going to support the Republican nominee, whoever it is. And I hope that we can, you know, move forward as one party, and I think that that's the only way, really, that we're going to grow and unify. I mean, we need to grow and unify, and it's not through a broker convention.
Does your role change if it turns into a contested or brokered convention at the national convention?
Well, then all bets are off as far as your second. Vote, and so I don't really know what the specifics of what a broker convention would look like.
Oh, goodness.
I've never been to a convention. I'm excited to be able to participate, but mostly I'm excited to bring a fresh perspective, a fresh face to the Republican Party that is that looks differently, that is one that is conservative, and one that is respectful of different viewpoints. So I don't know what the specifics of that would be, but I'm hoping that we're able to get our things together before we're there.
So let's ask some tough questions. If you consider yourself conservative, do you consider Donald Trump conservative?
Wait, did you just ask her if the wolf is wearing sheep's clothing? Did you just ask her that, Jesse?
I mean, well, here's the thing. If Donald Trump says he's conservative, but then if you look at literally any of his policies, there's not much things that are conservative about them. When you're talking about restrictions on free trade, you're talking about his health care plan, there's a lot of things that just don't really seem very conservative.
But if you've watched any of the debates, go ahead, Rep. Rep, God, you have the floor. I yield the floor to the representative.
You know, I think that we're focused on, you know, getting a Republican into the Oval Office, and that's where we need to as a party, unite and say we want a Republican in the corner office. It's made a huge difference in this state as far as having someone who has a different viewpoint, and one that's trying to work within a budget, and one that understands that a small, effective, smart government is great government. And I think the focus has to be, you know, on getting a Republican in. So, you know, as far as the questions about, you know, are you conservative or not, I don't think that that's really where we should be headed.
Yeah, we got to start, in my opinion, not Kevin's, we have to start with getting a Republican into office. Maybe not Kevin's, I don't know.
Kevin is neutral. The idea is I'm supposed to be Switzerland. That's
well,
the idea.
He's gathering information. That's good. You know, that's good.
It's definitely good. I'm going to ask you. Let's say the convention does the right thing by its party, and says, okay, Donald Trump came this close to getting the needed delegates, and okay, let's make him the nominee. In your educated opinion, what do you feel would make a strong ticket to really solidify the Republicans' chances of getting the Oval Office? Who would make a great running mate that could maybe kind of help balance the ticket?
Isn't that interesting? I am not going to answer that.
Let me ask you another one that you're not going to answer. Do you think Kasich is staying in the race in hopes for a contested convention?
I don't think so. He doesn't have enough.
I don't think he has enough votes.
He doesn't have the votes.
What is the reason for him staying in the run then?
I think he did well in Ohio, and I think he believes that he has a different type of message, and so I'm not sure exactly where his future plans are. But I mean, people run for president because they think they have something to offer,
right.
And he's been a strong governor in Ohio, and I mean he's got a very lengthy resume as far as public service, so that's where, you know, maybe he's staying in because he thinks he has more to offer. I don't know mathematically how that works out.
I'm going to throw this in there, and this will be kind of the last, because we have to wrap it up, and definitely thank you for staying on and chatting with us. I think that the smart vote, the smart thing to do, if in fact Donald Trump ends up being the Republican nominee, I think he should pick John Kasich. I think John Kasich gives him Ohio. I think he's a working governor. He's a guy who's worked with other administrations. I think he gives the ticket. He gives the party validity. I think that's just an opinion. I could be wrong.
Right. I think Kasich. I've always said Kasich would be a great vice president. I thought the whole race, I was like, you know, the Republican front runner would be, whoever it is, would be stupid not to pick Kasich. But now I'm thinking more in the lines of Kasich has gathered a total of like 10 votes in the United States. So now I'm thinking maybe picking Cruz or somebody I know I'm obviously being sarcastic, if he picks someone with a little bit more pull, you know, maybe he has a better chance picking someone like a Rubio or a Cruz.
We'll see.
We will.
We definitely see. Representative, the floor is yours for the final couple of moments. I want to thank you very much for joining us. I wish you the best of luck coming up on April 5th. Hopefully, the folks who are voting will pick you. You'll get the majority. Anything you want to say in closing?
Well, no, I just appreciate the opportunity to come on. And again, we're trying to change our brand. We're trying to, you know, say that we're a great brand, Republicans offer a great brand, and we're going to grow and unify the party in these next few months, and hopefully we will be winning lots of races in November. So that's where my focus is, recruiting and getting good candidates and training and organizing locally and helping our local Republican groups to focus on great candidates and great ideas, and I think that's where we're going to grow our party.
Let's definitely have you back on in a couple of weeks, maybe after the election. We'll have you back on, and we'll chat with you more, okay?
All right. Happy to.
All right.
Thank you.
She is State Representative Keiko Oral was our guest. Jesse, nice job.
I tried.
He did a nice job.
Like I said, this has been a dream come true.
Come on, stop it. That is another Monday Night Talk in the books. South Shore Live coming up next with Stan and the Gang. Till next week at 6:15 p.m. Have a great evening.